You make music that you are very proud of. You send it to big labels. They don't even answer, you know, because there's a lot of people making music and they might not even have the chance to listen to your music, whatever. Or they might like it, but it's not kind of on the line of the sound of the label or whatever. So it's all very subjective and you cannot take it personal. So sometimes it's a consequence, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But what is very clear is that we have to be connected with what we do and do our best with what we can change, not with what we cannot change.
You're listening to the Mission Makers Show, a podcast that inspires humans to get into the mindset of success. My name's Farah Nanji, and I'm the founder of a business in the motorsports industry that explores leadership lessons from things like Formula One. I'm also a DJ and music producer in the underground electronic scene, and a public speaker on key topics like resilience, building high-performance teams, overcoming learning difficulties, and stimulating creativity. And to tie it all together, I love writing thought-provoking content as a journalist for these industries which are so unique in themselves. On this show, I'm sitting down with some of the most inspiring and driven people I've met around the world to talk about their processes, their failures, the lessons they've learned, and how they are truly making an impact for this world. Welcome to the first episode of season four of the podcast. I'm honored to be opening up the season with a man who shares a similar outlook to life as me, with music being his yin and racing being his yang. At the tender age of 19, Jaime Alguersuari blazed into Formula One, etching his name in history as the youngest ever driver to start a Formula One race at the time. The record was broken by Max Verstappen, as most seem to be these days, but 6 years later, when he competed in F1 at just the age of 17, and the sport shortly changed the entry age to 18 since then. But Jaime raced for the Red Bull family at Scuderia Toro Rosso for 2 years, and he left a defining mark on the sport. But his story doesn't end at the finish line. Shortly after, he shifted gears and he pursued his passion for electronic music, becoming a world-renowned DJ under the alias of Squire. He's released on highly acclaimed labels from Mobily to Get Physical, played at some of the best venues in the world from Amnesia to Carl Cox's residency at DC10, who's also a massive petrolhead and mission maker. And more recently, he formed a DJ duo called Pole Position with Loic Lejolif, who's the founder of Brunch Electronic in Barcelona. And on today's episode, Jaime will take us on a journey through the intersections of speed and sound, sharing incredible insights into the mindset of an F1 driver. And anybody who follows F1 will know just what a huge pressure there is when you're under a Red Bull contract, and how that mental resilience and fitness training has carried over into the flow of his musical work, as well as a lot more. I love connecting the dots between the worlds of music and motorsport, so I'm super excited to have Jaime here, and I hope you enjoy our conversation. Jaime, it's an absolute honor to have you on Mission Makers today. I've always said that music is my yin and racing is my yang, and so it's awesome to meet someone who's actually taken both those worlds to like the highest of heights. So first and foremost, how are you today? Where are you joining me from?
Well, very nice to meet you. I'm also very glad to talk about also my yin and yang, because racing and music have always been very, very present in my life. Still are, both of them. Haven't forget any of those. And I'm talking today from my studio here in Barcelona. This is the place where I spend most of my time every single day making sounds and strange noises.
Nice. What kind of sounds are you making at the moment?
Well, you know, making music is a very challenge thing, because you always try to surprise yourself. You listen a lot of music through your life and you have an idea of what you like, what you don't. Of course, this is super important when you DJ, having music culture from the early 70s, 80s with different genres and so on. But when it comes about building your sound, it's something else. And for me, it depends a lot on my feelings, you know. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm not that happy, sometimes I feel super energetic, sometimes, You have an idea nowadays, thanks to the technology and the evolution of development of technology. It's more simple to kind of make an idea or write a single beat or something, which it already triggers something to develop into a song, which is great because nowadays I can take my laptop everywhere and build something that it looks kind of interesting. So music making it's everywhere, and inspiration is everywhere. It's just about how you see it and where you see it. It's all here, It's all in there. So it's very challenging nowadays to be happy with the music that you finish, and the whole process is hard because there's a lot of time and effort behind the music. But also in other aspects, also when I was racing, I was training twice a day, 4, 5, 6 hours, simulators. It's a lot of off-track work. So every single job, if you want to do it right and take it professionally, you have to, invest and spend so much time behind it.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to talk a lot about those habits of success and really mentally preparing yourself to do that. But just something you touched upon there was developing your signature sound. And I just wanted to quickly elaborate on that. Like, was it quite difficult for you to develop that signature sound and be happy with it? Considering what you said about, like, of course, you have music influences and cultures and like what you listen to, but actually creating your own style and your own signature, like, what was that like?
Well, I think life is changing every day, and also we are changing, So everything is like an evolution. I don't feel like when you kind of because like 5 or 6, 7 years I was doing like a very different music than what I do now, but I don't feel ashamed at all. I just feel proud of what I was doing before, even if the sound wasn't as maybe as the quality of the sound wasn't as good as now. My knowledge also wasn't as good as now, but this is part of your signature, and it's part of the evolution and the development that you do in the music business, It's part of the whole career of an artist. So there is always like a little signature, but again, like last year I wrote my first album, which was released on Mobile, and I didn't feel, because it was written during the pandemic, so I didn't really feel that there should be a dance floor song. So everything was more kind of going towards the pop and down tempo electronica conceptual kind of sound. And I really enjoyed doing this because this was like another story to tell in an album, and we normally do write dance floor music. So it always depends on the period of times when you make the music. So that's why I feel you have to accept the moment, and you have to write the music that you feel without trying to copy something or trying to work for a, let's say, specific label or a specific sound. You just try to be yourself, even if it doesn't work for a short period of time. I think in the long term it's gonna be beneficial, because you're kind of gonna ha be gaining your audience and your whole sound,
Absolutely. I mean, you have to find fulfillment through, I mean, there has to be fulfillment at the core, actually, of the whole mission and the whole drive. So if you're adapting to fit to a certain label or a sound, then quite quickly you're going to get trapped into the constraints of creativity within those parameters in a way. I'm actually quite curious to know, like, obviously, being a driver means being quite fast. Does that speed come into your production process at all?
Maybe. I've never thought about it. I work quite fast. Sometimes, of course, it depends on the creativity and the ideas you have in mind, and you take more time to finish a track, or sometimes you just finish it in a couple of hours. But I think what I've learned from my previous job and career is the routine and discipline that I take things when it comes to music. So this has helped me a lot, I think, because being in the junior team of Red Bull, it was a very hard process because you were committed to win races, otherwise you were going out of the program. There were tough days there, you know. I didn't really I didn't party, I didn't see my friends at all. It was just work and hard work every week, every weekend. So this is what I'm doing now, some sort of in a way, you know. And this, I think, has helped me to have this kind of discipline, going early in the morning in the studio and having this routine of work, you know, training hard still for my mental health, which is always important. You know, sometimes being here too many, spending here too many hours is not good at all, because you have to flow with the ideas, and also you have to kind of let it go. You know, when it's time to let the songs and the music rest, it's important to you know, clear your ears up and maybe go and do something else and train or be with your friends. So all these habits have helped me to develop my working process and working method through the years, of course.
And what came first in your life as a passion, music or motorsport, or do they kind of come simultaneously?
Well, I started motorsport when I was 8, through my dad, because my dad used to be a bike rider, and you know, they introduced me into this, of course. I liked it, and we, you know, I won a couple of races, and then started to go to travel to Italy, where this is, you know, like the competition gets more professional. And I did a couple of championships in there. I got selected for the junior team. So I got my first contract when I was 15. And then the whole thing started to get more serious. At the same time, my parents used to go to Ibiza since 1975. And they used to spend their holidays in there. So they used to take me with them. So I built many relationships in Ibiza. Every single holidays, every year. So my friends used to play records, they used to buy records at the time, you know, Beatport and other music platforms were not really developed. So somehow you still, you know, the vinyl market was still very strong. And it was very nice, actually, because it all started as a competition of who had the best or the most powerful record out there. So we used to, you know, you used to play music in a basement between all of our friends, and share records and music and try to show them who is playing the coolest record out there. So it all started as a friend's kid's house, in a kid's house, you know. And since then, I you know, I really felt connected with the music and started to listen to more music, more music. And there was a point where when I reached Formula One in 2009, I really wanted to make music. I really wanted to kind of, okay, I want to build this, you know, even if it's not sounding great, but I want to start something here. So when I had my free time with my laptop, I started, you know, starting to play around Ableton, even if I had no clue of what I was doing, but there was somehow my start into the music world. So yeah, my first record was in 2010. So yeah.
Nice. And you touched upon your father, and actually, something that we always sort of start our interviews with is going a bit deeper into the meaning of a person's name. So, I'm curious, like, are you aware of what your name means?
In which sense?
In just the translation of Jaime, like what it stands for, what it means.
It's just my normal name or my surname?
Your normal name.
Oh, well, my dad's name is Jaime. It means James in English, of course. And I don't know. I mean, he called me like that probably because he felt he wanted to have a driver, a boy, or a rider in the house, because he was coming from this world. So he really wanted to have a kid which was following his path in motorsport. So I guess it was all about that.
So it's actually interesting because when you look up the name Jaime, it actually means supplanter, which means taking over from someone. So in a way, it's like, you know, that's kind of like your DNA, right? It's always quite interesting to see if there's like some sort of correlation between what you end up doing in your life and how that the name that you were given at birth like has an impact. So was there a pressure point on you to continue, or was that like a natural thing? Like you're excited, like, you know, wanted to do it.
Yeah, I wanted to do it. I mean, I was excited about racing, of course. I loved racing. It was all my life. I still do. But I wished my parents took me to piano lessons when I was eight
That's
as
always,
well. And they didn't, because music was not incorporated on my families. But I don't blame them at all. I mean, it's what it is. I discovered something else later on in my life, and I fall in love, completely fall in love, because the music is like, when you connect with music, it's like going out, it's like getting into a third dimension, you know. It's like maybe driving like the perfect car that you, before making the corner, you know how the car is going to react, and you don't have understeer, you don't have oversteer, the car is just perfect conditions. And this is like very difficult to drive a car like that, you know, like there's always some kind of missing problem. And I would describe it like this, if there is a comparison, which is always, of course, very difficult to compare, but making music and playing music with a crowd, the connection is like entering into a third dimension, of course, into a different dimension than reality. It's magic.
I love that analogy, for sure. And that when you make that perfect transition, when you find those sounds that blend in and weave in to another track, it's an amazing feeling. So we'll go a bit deeper into the motorsports career, before then kind of switching gears into music. And so the way that you made your debut was quite extraordinary in F1, and you know, more than a decade has passed now. So like, talk to our audience on how you now look back on that and how you reflect on how that day felt. I mean, to take the helms of a Formula One car in the way that you did, it must have been just a crazy experience.
It was. I mean, I committed all my life to this for Formula One, but not just that. You know, I was expect I had high hopes, high expectations, because when you are a racing driver and you are on one of the toughest programs in the world, you are committed to win, or at least to become the best, to try to win, you know. I've been winning races and championships since I was 15. And since my first Red Bull contract, you never stop being in the top or being competitive till you reach Formula One. What happens in Formula One? What is the difference between junior racing series and Formula One? Well, it's very simple. Technology changes, you know, teams are very different, the costs are super different. So you basically race with a technology and with a tool that you only have, that you know, it's like everyone is driving with different tools, let's say. So it's very, very difficult to compete, because you kind of know before the weekend starts where you're gonna finish. And this is somehow frustrating, because you know sometimes, well, you know for real that with the best car, you could actually win. And not just you, probably eight or nine or even 10 other drivers can do it. Of course, the best driver gets the best car. And we see it nowadays with Max and Lewis, you know, great drivers. But again, you know, it's always the same story. If they wouldn't have the team that they have, the car that they are driving, they would not by any chance would be in the top 10, you know. So it's always depending on that. And this is really, really frustrating. I had a great adventure. I lived my life in there, my team, Toro Rosso, Red Bull. I can't complain, of course. I beat world champions and I made 31 points in F1. Of course, I would have loved to drive a more competitive cars because I would have liked to see where I was in the final classification. That's all. And this is like my little thing that wasn't kind of close, you know, like I didn't finish myself in the proper way to retire from racing without any doubt, you know. I don't know if I made myself clear actually, but you know, it's very difficult in F1 to compare yourself to the others when you don't have the same car. The only one who you can compare yourself with is your teammate. So this competition is very hard, is very strong. It doesn't happen everywhere, but this is the way it works. And it's a very selfish sport because you work for yourself, you also work for your team, but in a way, there are so many things happening behind that you never control, that you're not aware of. And this is somehow sometimes frustrating, especially because, well, you know, with a better car, you could be doing something else, something different. But again, can't complain. It was great. It was a lovely adventure. I enjoyed so much. I met so many people. I traveled the world. I worked for 400 people in the company, and I had a huge responsibility that made me who I am today. But I look back, and this is part of my past. It's part of a chapter that I wrote, and now it's music time. So yeah, I've been in the music business for 8 or 9 years, professionally for 6 or 7, but I'm really looking forward for this new challenge, let's say.
Super interesting. And I mean, like you've touched upon, and I think, you know, the world knows, like, that Red Bull program, junior program, is like ridiculously tough, and you can see the different styles of leadership that different teams have. And, you know, do you think that it's necessary to be that harsh to, especially young drivers, when they're so young, they're shaping their who their identity is? And also, you probably, like, you know, you've come from a family that obviously has come from motorsport. Whether your family's come from motorsport or not, like, I mean, I think there are probably two very opposed or very different styles of parenting, you know, that are coming. So how do you, like, how do you block that noise out when you're actually driving on the track, you know? And yeah, do you think it's in do you think it's necessary to be like that harsh, especially at a young age?
Well, this is always, you know, like a big compromise because when you're a kid, you want to make sure that you are with other kids and that you have a normal education and that you are going to school, that normal kids do. But this doesn't really happen when you take things so serious and when you commit everything to something without guarantee of what's going to happen. I didn't leave school. Thankfully, this helped me a lot. It was very tough because to kind of synchronize my racing and my school program, it was very difficult when I was 14, 15 years old before going to high school. But I made it. So this helped me massively. And then, of course, being in a program like that, you understand why they are being so tough because they're basically paying your whole career. They're doing everything for you at the end because, you know, this sport is not for everyone. It's a very exclusive and unique sport. It's a very expensive sport. The costs are so high that not every parent, well, I would say maybe 90% or 95% every child's parents could not afford to contribute and to sponsor their kids in order to pursue Formula One. So you need sponsors, you need to be in a program. The only thing is that these programs are very selective and you have to be unique in a way. And therefore you have to win. They only ask for results, which is not very different to what we live in life. I mean, when you get contracted to work for a company, they will also ask you for results. So you have to deliver. That's the only way that you can succeed, and that's the only way that you can move forward delivering results. So I feel very happy that I've lived this very young, at a very young age, this whole experience, because this gave me maturity, and this gave me a huge experience of what is life in a very early age. So I feel very happy to have been in the junior team. Things didn't end up as I expected, even though we showed results. I beat my teammates and we did 31 points with a non-competitive car. So we can't complain. But again, it's not always results, you know. Sometimes in life, even if you do a good job, even if you gr make great music, even if you play great records and you kill the dance floor, sometimes, how do I say this? Sometimes there are many variables happening that you don't control. So at the end of the day, you just have to, that's how I feel, right? This is, you have to concentrate and focus on what is in your hands, what is under your control, because you never know what can happen behind and what is waiting for you in a good way, in a bad way. So just focus on your music, just focus on your driving, on your thing, on your work. And you know, if they want to get you out of the fire, you know, because there's some politics behind or things happening behind, you can't do anything. You just have to be happy that you've done your best, and that you've done that you have reached the goals that they have asked you. That's all. Keep on going. This is how I feel, really. Yeah.
Interesting. And do you see
No,
any sim
I say this because in the music world, it's very similar. Well, in everywhere is similar. You know, like you make music that you are very proud of. You send it to big labels, they don't even answer, you know, because there's a lot of people making music and they might not even have the chance to listen to your music, whatever. Or they might like it, but it's not kind of on the line of the sound of the label or whatever. So it's all very subjective and you cannot take it personal. So sometimes it's a consequence, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But what is very clear is that we have to be connected with what we do and do our best with what we can change, not with what we cannot change.
Very, very true. Because yes, in music there are so many variables, especially in today's world. And you know, I think the most important thing is to not lose the essence of creativity, or the drive and the hunger and the desire to continue and keep showing up. And if it doesn't speak to one particular label or team, you know, you move to the next goal. You just keep moving. You just keep doing what it is that you love. And I was going to ask you, like, do you feel there are any similarities between these two worlds? But, or do you feel like you've said already enough about the similarity?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, both are very different, but at the same time, they have similarities, of course. You know, playing for in a festival with all these people and, you know, communicating through music, it's fantastic. It's a unique feeling when you drive a racing car and it does everything that you expect. Because when you drive and you're pushing a race car to the limit, and you know that the car is doing what you want to do, what you expect the car to do, it's always a fantastic feeling. It's an art, even though if people think, you know, like it is not, it's always creative. It is, for me, an art to drive a difficult racing car on a very difficult environmental conditions, like on the wet, for example. It is very specific, and it's super nice to the feeling of driving a race car on the wet is an art, absolutely. So there are things that come to my mind that are very, very similar, and the adrenaline that you kind of get the whole, feelings that you kind of that you feel while you drive or while you make music or when you play, there are similars, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you're developing your own rhythm with the track every single time, every single corner, all the time. And so, did music play a role in any of your pre-race rituals? And if so, what kind of sounds? And also, could you touch upon if you did have any like rituals before a race or even before DJing nowadays?
Not really, actually. I mean, I listen to a lot of music, very different music, because I like pop, I like electronic music, I like techno, I like house music, I like rock music. So I like chill music as well, classical music. Every sound has a purpose, I would say. Every sound has a meaning, and every different frequency has a story, behind. So it's just a matter of open yourself to understand, open yourself to understanding. So I think is obviously not every music is very is great, because for me, like, reggaeton is very difficult to understand, but I understand the people who loves that sound, and the people who dances that music. So it's just about being open, and yeah, I this is what I feel. I didn't have any specific ritual. I just improvise a lot when I play, and also when I was racing. I had my routines, of course, but I just want to stay with with the whole flow of it, without thinking too much. Maybe when you think too much is when you can make a mistake or get nervous. Everything is more natural, let's say.
Definitely. And what about, like as we've touched upon here about the discipline and the regime and of course the not only the mental fitness but the physical fitness it takes as well. Like, do you feel that that discipline you've learned has, impacted your world in music, which is completely different in and of itself with touring and you sitting in a room for hours and, yeah, like do you feel that you can take away some of those things and bring that into the music world with and set yourself up for success to actually achieve mu the musical goals that you have.
Yeah, I think it's crucial to have a positive mindset, and of course, to keep insisting, even if sometimes can be frustrating, even if you are very tired, because you have, this summer for me was quite full of shows and playing here and there, and it was a bit frustrating sometimes with airplanes and cancellations and sometimes delays. But this is part of the game. So whether you accept it with a smile or you're gonna live your life, in a bad situation. So it's about having a very positive mindset and keeping yourself healthy as you can. And by healthy means, sleeping hours, creating yourself like a method of training, because training is not just, to be fit. It's about being connected, mentally. It's super important to train every day, and you after when you train, or you go boxing, or you go running or cycling, or even you play football with your friends, you have a purpose, of feeling fresh and ready, and this is like, it's like a challenge that you have, like trying to beat your physical condition every day, and making yourself a little bit better, and making yourself looking healthy. It's crucial to me. It's super important. And of course, I have also very sad days, because whenever you are sitting in your studio and you don't feel like you are getting where you want, or you are not really reaching the point, sometimes it can be frustrating. But it's always also part of the game. The best artists are also having these periods of times. So understand that it's not always like going like that. So it can, life is like this all the time. So it's about accepting the whole process. Whenever it goes well, whenever you get a, you know, something nice, it's about accepting. And whenever you don't have something nice, or you're not running a very beautiful period of time because your music didn't get signed, or because you didn't even did your best DJ set, which can happen because everyone in the social network is saying that their sets are the best, you know, but we all know it. This is not true. It's not possible to be true. So it's about accepting and being realistic with yourself, I think.
How many do you work out? Do you work out every single day? And if so, how many hours? And secondly, how does that change when you're going on, when you're traveling and you're going on tour? Like, do you still find time every single day, or whatever it is, to find that time for fitness?
You can train every day in your room. It's super simple. As long as you exercise and you move your body, and you know that you feel the pain sometimes. It's about this. And I really don't want to do it because I also feel better in the sofa, but I know I'm gonna feel much better after when I finish and when I take a shower. I'm gonna feel amazing. And if I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't feel like that. This is it's all our chemicals in our head. So that's why I do it, to feel motivated, to feel energetic, to feel fresh, to feel alive. It's super important, especially if you do a job like sitting in front of a screen for 8 to 10 hours a day. You need to go off. You really need to change and shift for an hour, an hour and a half, do something different. And come back, and you will feel a difference.
Of
So if
course.
you incorporate this into a routine, it's helping. It's helping in the long term. It helps for your health, and it helps for your head. And we didn't talk about this, but also nutrition is super important, you know, and not just to keep fit and well and healthy and you know, and to keep with controlling your body weight, but also mentally, you know that you are kind of it all it's all always a balance, I would say. You know, everything is a balance. I think too much of something is not good,
Of course.
and it's always a balance. I love to party, I love to be with my friends, I love to dance, but too much party, too much dance, too much of this, it might not be good or beneficial, or at least to me, you know. So it's always a balance of things that I believe make you move forward.
So would you say in that situation, in that belief, and I completely agree that you have to find the balance. Would you say that then, like, having, you know, doing a DJ set every weekend is not creating that balance, or would you be able to still find the balance
Not for
in
me,
that?
not for me. Maybe, well, I've never experienced, you know, like playing every single weekend for my whole life. I think nobody did it. I can do it for a certain period of time, but at some point you have to stop. You have to rest.
Yes.
You know, it's always a balance. Too
Yeah.
much time in the studio is not good. Too much time touring and playing music is definitely not good. And also, you know, I have many friends who have done like Ironmans and marathons and Ultramans, and they are completely addicted to sport. This is also not good in the long term, you know. And I've been there because I've done many, you know, marathon racing. I've been going to races in Africa for cycling. I've done this kind of stuff. But you know, it's also very addictive, so you have to be careful. It's a balance. It's a balance of things that again makes you feel, you know, in the center.
So, I mean, you know, the reason I ask is because when you become a successful artist, of course, you know, there's a pressure point because you can have gigs from every single country in the world, and it's, you know, and it's kind of like your agent will want you to fit them all in, but you as a person can, you know, cannot maybe want to do that, right? And obviously the impact that streaming has had as well, like, places that pressure a little bit more on artists to get their fees through the performances, right? It's funny because there's been a few drivers recently making hype by taking to the decks, like Lando Norris and Nikita Mazepin. I don't know if you've seen any of that, but we had a question in from our audience that said, like, are drivers the new DJs or DJs the new drivers?
Oh, I didn't know about it. I
Okay.
didn't know about it.
Okay, fine, fair enough. We'll skip that one then.
But of course, I mean, I understand this. Like nowadays, everyone is a DJ. Everyone
Yes.
can play, and everyone can be a good kind of play good music in a way. Obviously, having music culture is something
Of
different.
course, of
For
course.
me, being a good DJ is much more than playing good music. It's having all these kind of colorful historical knowledge of music with different genres, and having maybe risking in the middle of a DJ set with a different record that you would never expect or imagine that it was going to be played, and it works. So this is being like a very unique DJ. It's being a good DJ is not it's not an easy task, of course, but and also the fact that for me, you have to make music. It's part of the story. It's part of who you are. It's part of what your sound is. And it's also great to get into a new place and find people that don't know you, but maybe have heard your music and can communicate and can hear what they think of your, creation. This is super interesting, and I love that because when I find these people that they felt something with the music that you have been releasing, it's you feel not you feel proud, and also you feel kind of, well, here I am to share with you my knowledge, and I hope you have a great time listening to my set, because you play for the crowd, you don't play for yourself,
Course.
you play for that. Well, that's what I think. I want that the people that pay whatever ticket to come and listen to me have the best possible time of their lives. So I'm gonna w be working for them, not for me. I'm gonna work, and I will try to make sure that they experience this amazing time of their lives in the in that room or in festival or whatever they are.
Absolutely. And that's definitely the mindset I think is really important in that, because again, it's taking ego out of the equation and realizing that you're there to, nowadays, like, the DJ booth is something that's like in the center stage, but it didn't used to be like that, back
No,
in
of
the days,
course.
right?
It, when you play for festivals, it feels so strange because I think like DJs weren't really designed to play in festivals. I don't feel it's like for rock stars. I think festivals are designed to be for bands and Rolling Stones and The Cure and all the Guns N' Roses and all these guys, which is great. But DJs like to have like this DJ like little booth and all these people. It's strange to see. I mean, I understand, but it's strange to see,
I also think it just adds in a weird and unnecessary pressure, because it's like, first of all, the booth is so far away from the audience, and that kind of takes away the intimacy. Secondly, it's kind of like, everyone's there to like film, and it's kind of like, well, if you want to create, you need like, you don't need 20,000 cameras in your face to create. It's like, it's too much. And that's just my personal gripe with just the way that people experience dance and movement these days is very different, to just taking away the image of it, in a way. And so let's talk a bit about the music industry in itself. Like, what are some of the changes when you came into this industry, and you made that shift obviously from motorsport? I mean, how much did you know about the professionalism of the industry, and what surprised you, and what would you like to see change in the industry moving forward?
Well, I had no clue when I started making music and kind of releasing my first records out. One of my first EPs was released on Damien Lazarus' label, Rebellion, and I got in. Well, he got in touch with me, and I told him that I had no clue about anything how it worked. He invited me to some of his parties and created a nice relationship with Damien, and he actually helped me a lot and gave me the motivation to feel like, oh, maybe I have a chance here, because
Nice.
if he kind of pick, he's picking up on my music, and I work hard and I keep working, maybe I have chance to keep on releasing good music. So the thing is that What I la what I feel I the industry is lacking, or that's only my honest point of view, is to see like the big names more connected with the younger people. Like there's so many, and I know it's very difficult because probably impossible, because here everyone in life in general, everyone is focusing on their own business, which is great. And everyone wants to earn more money. And the more money they earn, the better it is. So show me the money. It's all about that, which is totally understandable. We live in a world like that. It's fine. But I would really, really like to see, and this is why I've created this platform called Animes. I've started my own label, Animes, but also created this TV show, trying to help people with explaining the their most difficult circumstances that the people have been living through their lives. I mean, successful people that have been living tough and difficult situations in their lives. This is something else. But what I would feel from that music industry should do with bigger artists is to try and promote the young people, not just releasing their music and signing music. This is already happening, but especially trying to motivate the people who are trying, because there's so much talent out there, not just producers, also singers, piano players, musicians in general, that they have not a clue of what's going to happen with their lives, which is it's the same for everyone. But I would kind of, this summer I played with Carl Cox, and a couple of times in at DC10 he invited me to his parties, and I was so I never expected. He was this guy is so humble, an amazing like host, and super friendly, down to earth. And I really valued that, because you don't really expect, coming from a rock star in the electronic music business, that he's so down to earth, listening to you, giving you a space. And it's important, and it's super nice to see that. So this is what I feel I the whole industry is lacking. People like Carl, people more down to earth. So it's the big names more down to earth, that kind of have these nice gestures with the younger audience, trying to motivate and trying to push producers to make music, to keep on sending music, to keep on, trying. This is great, because I did that in my previous job in racing, and it feels nice when there is a, young carters that ask you for a photograph, and they might ask you for a suggestion, or a tip for their driving, or and you spend 5 minutes with them, even if it's like 5 minutes of your time, and you see the kids that they are looking at you with a smile on their face, and you make them happy. So it's all about creating this illusion in life, it's about creating this wish and this dream. So be part of it. I would like to see these big names, big artists, being more connected with the people who are trying,
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I feel like through the pandemic, I noticed a lot of artists created mentorship programs. They got very open and honest, if you sought out some of their advice, because they created some of the spaces. And I'm part of quite a few of these communities, like Sebastian Mullat, for example. He's got a great mentorship community, and now a Discord channel, and you just see the positive reinforcement and the messaging. And actually, we were very lucky to interview Carl in Mission Makers a couple of seasons ago, and to echo those thoughts. I mean, like, he's like, of course, like an industry hero, and we thought, yeah, we got 1 hour scheduled. He gave us 2 hours of his time, and he was so nice. And it is amazing to see like that. And I do echo what you say, because I feel that perhaps to achieve that change, the gatekeepers need to kind of like What is that work ethic? Who is that person that you're giving these opportunities to? Are they going to pay it back to the next generation? Have they got that kind of similar values, you know, when given the tools and of success? Because of course, when you give someone all of the achievements or outcomes of success, like, it's what do they do with it? You know, how do they use that to make the world a better place? Because music is like, music will make the world a better place, because someone will hear this song and they can hear it in their own space, and you don't need to be there for that. You may not be there for that, but what do you as a human being do outside of that to help? So I think it's an important, definitely a very important change. And I think the pandemic really woke up the industry to talk about this and to reset quite a few of these things.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, hopefully. Let's see. I mean, this industry still has a lot, I mean, obviously, to go. Because there's, I think in the end, I think it's what's unfair is just more the streaming aspect, what those platforms do to even like as you said with motorsport, like it's probably even for 99% of people, I don't even think 95, I think 99% of people, I think it's unattainable as a sport. It's just so inaccessible. You need millions of dollars, like, and with music, to create a living from music is obviously really, really tough as well. So if you had a message, if you could deliver a message to the leaders of the next century, what would that message be?
Well, I don't feel I'm someone to like give lessons to anyone, of course. I do have an interesting story, I know that. But we are all storytellers, you know, we are all writing our own story. And it all depends on us to make this story look great or look interesting. But we all have, I do feel we all have an interesting story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
My advice, and I don't advise people, I advise myself, is to keep fighting for your values, to keep very, very focused on what you do and what you believe, because it have worked for me very, very strongly in the past. As I said, to succeed, it doesn't just depend on you. Sometimes there are variables. You have to be at the right time, at the right place, and maybe it works. So for me, what I've seen is that when this happens and you just keep your method, you feel super confident. You feel connected with yourself. You feel like you are as strong as you've never been, and you are indestructible because mm-hmm. you have this method that works, working method that you keep on fighting and you keep on doing every day, and it's getting closer to your goal, you know. And when things doesn't go the way you expect, it's not a disaster. It's not a drama. Just keep on with your plan. That would be my advice. It's super easy to, how do you say, to give up. It's super easy to give up. This is what everyone does. When things get difficult, when things get more darker, and you don't really see the light, or you don't really see, you know, like, we are facing difficult times. We had a pandemic. We are now facing, you know, we're in the middle of the war. Things are strange, you know, in this modern world. Mm-hmm. But just keep with your plan. It's important. You have a plan. If you have a plan, keep it, keep going. This is what I tell to myself every day. It's about keep going and never lose this motivation. It's super important.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And so we'll go to our quick fire round now. So just quick answers on a few of the questions we've got prepared. So how do you like to start your day?
Having breakfast, of course. Eating. I love eating.
Okay.
This is my second passion after music.
So is that the first thing that you do when you wake up? Is you just straight away go and eat?
Okay. Straight, no, a shower and eat.
Okay, cool. If you were a car, what car would it be?
I don't know. I think it would be an off-road car, because off-road can go everywhere.
True.
So you want to make sure you are versatile, that you know that you are kind of can go through every kind of terrain. every type of terrain.
An all-rounder for sure. Okay, nice. What song would you play on the podium?
Difficult. We are the champions.
Okay. We started a new trend on this show where our previous guest asks the next guest a question. So our previous guest was a lady called Alessa Berg, who is a sustainable kind of eco warrior, a leader in her field. She started a company called Top Tier Impact, which is a partnered with the World Economic Forum around ecosystem, sorry, of basically members who are impact investment leaders. Yeah, and so she asked. We didn't tell her your name. We just said. We're interviewing someone later who it was a former Formula One driver and a DJ. So she didn't know who it was. And she asked, what gets your heart racing at this particular moment?
What was the question again?
What gets your heart racing at this particular moment?
What gets my heart?
Yeah.
What gets my heart racing at this particular moment in
Yeah.
music?
I think
I mean,
in general, that was just the question that what gets your heart racing at this particular moment?
music. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, my heart tells me to for mute for music every day.
Okay, nice, nice.
I
And
mean,
so.
we talked about this, but for me, music is bigger than myself. You know, it's
Of
bigger than
course.
my life. It's bigger than everything. So that's why I feel like committed, and I don't know. It's something that you have inside, and it's difficult to kind of share or explain if you don't feel it, because it's a very personal thing. You know, the music for me, it's very, 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 very personal. It's a language.
Absolutely. And it's a language that everybody can understand
Yeah.
in the end. And they can all listen to that language. Are you still watching F1? And if you are, like, what are some of the things that you'll be looking out for or that you want to see happen next season?
Well, I do, yeah, I do follow F1. I would like to see more competition to win the championship. Obviously, now you have Max and Red Bull, who is, you know, unbeatable. But of course, for next year, I hope to see more contenders. I think this year was very clear that Ferrari had the best car, at least the first seven races, but they messed it all up, and they kind of, you know, gave away the championship. But it would be nice to see this again in next year, more
Yeah.
competition. So it's very clear that Checo is behind, and he will always have to work for Max. Otherwise, he has to go to another team. This is super, super clear, especially in Red Bull.
Okay, final question. What are you most grateful for this month?
I'm most grateful for keeping my health, to keeping my balance.
Nice.
And because the health is the number one thing, you know, and especially after COVID and so many things happened, strange things, it's always nice to feel fresh, to feel good, and to feel motivated. So this is the first thing I thank life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jaime. It's been
Thank you so
a true
much.
pleasure, and we'll speak to you soon.
Great. Speak soon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we've enjoyed having these conversations. If you want to grab a copy of today's show notes, then head over to missionmakers.com, where you'll also find notes from all of our previous episodes. And if you're interested in talking to me about producing podcasts or coming down to my music and motorsports events, then you can reach out to me at missionmakers or at dj.n1nja on Instagram. The music played in today's episode is an exclusive preview of my upcoming track, Infinite Being, with Deepak Chopra, and it will be coming out early next year. This has been a Mission Makers production. Thank you as ever for listening, and until next time, keep it laser focused.
We're not talking about mind, which is a modified expression of what we call the self. Self is fundamental reality, fundamental being. We call ourselves human beings, not human thinkers, not human doings, but human beings. So right now, as you're listening to me, if you were just try this. As you're listening to me, be aware of that which is listening.